Thank you so much. Thank you, Joel, for that really nice intro. And yeah, I'm so excited to be here with you. I was going to say good morning, but it's kind of not really morning anymore, at least not for me. So hello, Overflow. I'm so excited to be here with you. And I want to welcome everyone as well who's joining us online. If there's been one good thing that came out of COVID, maybe the only good thing, is that we have all learned to connect a little bit more online and better online. And so we've learned that we can connect online. So if you're joining us online, we would love to get to know you and connect with you right now. There's a real person on the other side. I like to say that. And we would love to know who you are and where you're worshiping from. And also, if you have any prayer requests, we would love to pray for you. So welcome and thank you for joining us. And I have heard about Overflow for a long time with my husband working with the Water's Edge Network. And we've prayed for you often. But this is actually my first time being here. And I've brought my friend Amy with me today. And we've just felt so welcomed just from when we first walked in here this morning. So thank you. It's been already great to be here. And you've already probably picked up from my accent that I'm not from here originally. And I was born and raised in Germany. And so while we make small talk just for a few minutes, it gives you just the time to just tune into my accent and get used to how I speak. And yeah, Joel already said it. We live in Holland. We are at Central. Both my husband and I are on staff there. We have 6 children. And my husband, Craig, is British. I'm German. Our 2 youngest children we adopted out of the foster care system 4 years ago. They are Haitian American. So between being British, German, Haitian, we're very mixed and diverse. And I actually wanted to bring you a picture, but maybe there are other people here with larger families. It's kind of hard to sometimes find those pictures with everybody together. So there wasn't a recent one. Definitely something to work on. But yeah, we are at Central in Holland. And I don't know if you know this about Germans, but they don't really like small talk. So we're done with that now. And I hope that you get to hear and understand me well. I want to be right, very honest from the get-go. When we first moved to Holland, which was almost 7 years ago, I struggled a little bit in my first year. We lived in Florida before, and I didn't struggle because I was missing the beach or the sun or the palm trees. I struggled a little bit that God would have called us here because it seemed like everybody kind of had it all together. Of course, if you know anything about Holland, there are a lot of churches. Sometimes they call it Church City. But it seemed to me too, like when I spoke to people in that first year, everybody was very churchy and had it all together, seemingly. But that was wrong thinking or misconception that I had. And so in our second year then, I prayerfully started to develop a recovery ministry together with a team and really started to see that what I first thought was not really true. That just like everywhere else, in Florida, in Germany, in the UK, everywhere else, people often struggle on the inside and have pain that they carry with them. And it's no different in Michigan. I heard a statistic the other day that may surprise you. And it said this: Grand Rapids is one of the leading cities in our nation. Leading with what? Any guesses? Could be that too, but I didn't hear that one. Anybody else? Any guesses? Similar? Mm-hmm. Yeah, depression and anxiety. Leading, not in Michigan, leading in the nation. So it's real, right here, right? And so I am really, really excited and thankful to Overflow that we get to talk about this. And you're in a series about healing. And this is 3, and we're talking about emotional healing. 2 weeks ago, Spencer actually kicked us off, and he just gave us an overview over this whole series. And one of the things that he said kind of struck me. He said, Christians or people should find healing right in our churches. That's the place where we should find healing, in community with other believers, whether that's at Central or at Overflow or anywhere else. But he said, sadly, that's often not the case. Often, that's the place where we don't find healing because we are wearing masks. When I put on this mask, you don't know if I'm crying or smiling or laughing. You don't know it because it's a mask. And he said, sadly, sometimes in churches we feel like we need to cover up and tell everyone we're doing so great, when in fact we're actually hurting. And then last week, Corey spoke and he shared about physical healing. Were any of you here last week in the second service? Yeah, it was really cool. I watched it online. Again, thankful that we can watch online. And I was in tears as a lady by the name of Eva was up front sharing a testimony. And she shared that, I might get it a little bit wrong, I hope not, that 50 years ago, I think it was actually to the date last Sunday, she was at this church. It was an overflow then, it was a different church. And she had an eye problem, it was quite serious. And she said that day, as a little girl, she received God's touch and his healing. And so she came back just kind of to see, and I don't think she's part of Overflow, but as she was here last Sunday, the series was on healing and on physical healing, and even more so, Corey shared about the healing of a blind man. How great is that? How amazing is God? And so all week, my prayer has been really a prayer of faith that God would do the same thing again, that he would move in someone's life when we talk about emotional healing, and that somebody would really understand what God wants for them, how good God is, and how he wants to set them free. And whether we know about this or not, it doesn't matter. But my prayer, and hopefully you will join me in that, is that God would do that right here, right now, whether it's somebody in here, whether it's somebody watching online. It doesn't matter, but let's have that faith that he can do what we cannot do. I want to share a scripture right before we even get into the message, and it's from John 10, verse 10. We'll probably get back to it later. Just want you to keep that in the back of your mind as we talk about emotional healing. And it says this, Jesus says it, I came that they may have life and that they may have it in abundance. You've probably heard it many times. But just remember, as we talk about emotional healing, that God longs to give us a good life, a healthy life, and a life of abundance, of joy, of peace, a good life. That's his desire for us. And maybe you have wondered, why is she talking about this? If you were to ask my brother, he would probably tell you, she's talking about this because she was very messed up. And yeah, there's some truth in that. But I get to talk about this because, yes, I have been emotionally unwell for a long time, actually. And I know what it is like to live behind a mask and behind the pain of a mask. But you know what? More than that, more than knowing about that, I also know who my healer is, was Jesus, and what it is like to have found healing. And Corey said last week, when we encounter Jesus like that, and when we have been set free by him, we want to talk about it. We can't stop talking about it. And that's where I find myself as it comes to mental health issues, when as it comes to emotional healing. So I'm really grateful we get to talk about this today. I want to share a little bit about my story of brokenness, but also my story of healing, and give God all the glory and praise for what he's done. So I grew up in Germany, in the south of Germany. Has anybody ever been to Germany in here? Okay, great. It's a beautiful part. It's a Swiss-French border where I grew up. And in a lot of ways, my upbringing was great. My parents are still married after over 50 years. My dad was a successful banker. I have a brother and a sister, and we had a lot of opportunities. We went to good schools. We did sports. We had a vacation every year. We had a nice home. But despite all of those good things, there was some stuff that was missing in my life. And I was only 12 years old when I started to develop a serious eating disorder, anorexia. And it got serious very quickly. And initially, I was sent away to a hospital for several weeks. And that didn't really help. So then I was sent away for almost a year to an inpatient treatment center. And that was a really difficult and lonely time. I was only really young. I really didn't know what my future was going to hold. And I came back home when I was almost 15, and I was doing better in a lot of ways. I looked better. I didn't look as sick as I did before, but I was still very unwell on the inside. And I decided there and then, I'm not going to show how I am really doing anymore, because that might mean I'm going to be sent away again. So I definitely put on a mask. And my anorexia turned into bulimia. And additionally, I became very depressed. And I think we use that word so lightly. We might say, oh, I'm depressed because I have to go to work, or I'm depressed because the sun's not shining. That's not depression. And I think whoever has ever struggled with depression knows that. real depression is dark and takes away any energy to do anything. And that was the case for me for many, many years. In fact, it was often so dark that I didn't want to go on living anymore. And suicide often was on my mind. And by the grace of God, it didn't happen. And so maybe you agree with my brother that I was pretty messed up, that definitely I was emotionally unwell. And and yet I want to say that emotional healing is possible. And today I want to share kind of three points that can help us in our journey towards emotional healing. They're very practical, and they're really for those people who say, I want this, I'm in, whatever it takes, I'll do it. It's kind of like the blind man in the story last week who had to change something. He was sitting at that pool and had done it for so many years. Nothing changes if nothing changes, and we have to at some point say, I want something different. And in that case, he was crying out to Jesus. And it's the same with emotional healing. It doesn't just happen because we listen to a message. We have to say, whatever it takes, I'll do it. And so these points are going to be very practical, but they can help in our journey towards emotional healing. And the first step is this. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. I know that seems too easy to be worthy to be a point, but let me say this is probably the hardest step for many of us. We have to talk about it. And in a spiritual sense, we would maybe call it, we have to bring it to the light. What's in darkness, what's hidden, we have to bring it to the light. For the power of darkness, for the power of the enemy to be broken. That's where it starts. If it's hidden in darkness, it's not going to be broken. There's a powerful scripture in Jeremiah 6, verse 14, and it says this. We can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. We can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. If we just have our masks on and pretend everything is good, nothing is going to change. And I want to share two thoughts that I have why sometimes people don't want to take that first step of bringing it to the light. And bringing it to the light means that we're honest with ourselves, that we're honest with God, and that we're honest with another person, at least one other person. So one reason could be pride. We may not want to admit to being proud. I don't like to admit that, but sometimes I could see that I'm not humble enough to do something. So really it's pride. And so in my case, you know, when I was in my early teens, you could see it in problem. Everybody could see it. No way to hide it. But in my late teens or in my 20s, I was a young mom. We lived in London. We were in ministry. I was a pastor's wife. And I felt like I had something to lose by telling people how I was really doing. And so we need to be humble and say where we're really at. So that's one reason. And I think the second reason why we often don't bring things to the light is actually one that applies for more people. And that's fear. What's going to happen if I share with someone what's really going on? That I maybe struggle with depression, anxiety, that I feel suicidal. What happens if I tell somebody that I've adopted an addiction? Maybe I'm, like me, an eating disorder, or a chemical addiction to drugs and alcohol, or sexual addiction, or whatever it is, or the pain of abuse in the past. What's going to happen if I share that with someone? Are they going to be safe? Are they going to look at me differently? That's definitely something I thought many times. Another fear I had was, what if I'm the only one that feels like that? And in the last few years, I've learned that so many people think that I'm the only one. I'm too messed up. Everybody else is different. And that's a lie. But it's a fear too. What's going to happen if we're really being honest? And as I thought about this, I had to think of one of my friends, and I asked her permission to share this story just for you to know. When we moved to Holland, I met a lady who is now a good friend, and she joined our small group. And in that season in our small group, we went around everybody who was in there, and everyone shared their kind of life story. And they shared it not in like 10 minutes, but like in an hour, so in great detail. And when it came to being her turn, she really struggled to share. And she was really anxious and she was emotional. And she said, I have really not ever shared these things and I don't know if I can do this. But she overcame her fear and she stepped into it and she trusted everybody in the group. And she shared of a past violation that happened as a child. And then that resulted in some unhealthy behaviors on her part, that resulted in a teenage pregnancy, that resulted in a lot of shame. And here she found herself 30 plus years later, and she still carried that shame and those burdens and that what if people knew. But of course, you can imagine that night, everybody loved her, everybody encouraged her, everybody was, of course, not judging her. And you know, for me, it's been really cool kind of to watch from the outside that in these last years, she has found a lot of healing. She's pursued healing. She's been very active, proactive in that area. And here she is, years later, and she's about to get ordained. She's on staff. And it is such a bizarre thing, but often God uses our greatest struggle and pain for his glory and his goodness. It's a mystery how it works, but he does it all the time. And I often wonder, what would have happened if she would have never spoken up and trusted that group of people? And I think there are other people too. What are we missing by not daring to open that cage of the things that we hold so tight? And you know, you might listen to this and you might think, you know, yes, I agree, I have pain, but that's just my stuff. That is not for anybody else. It doesn't hurt anybody else. It just hurts me. And I can deal with it. And I want to say I understand that thinking and that belief. And I have lived like that for many, many years too. But I also have come to the point to disagree. Our pain and our hurt affects other people. And I want to tell you the story of a dog by the name of Bella that I heard the other day. It was a family dog, a brown Labrador. Can you picture her? Yes? And she was expecting puppies, so the whole family was very excited. And I want to just pause for a minute and just ask you, are we all dog people in here? Yes? Yes, good. We are dog family too. I grew up with dogs, and we have a Dalmatian now. We had two Dalmatians until recently. But, you know, now that my kids are older, I don't know what has happened, but my two oldest kids are now really into cats. So between the two oldest, they have 6 cats. So I'm like, what has happened? I feel kind of betrayed. We're a dog family, not a cat family. My son, who's married, came over last night to play some games. And he said, Mom, I had a dream. I felt really manipulated. Please don't tell him I share this here. But he said, I had a dream. And we were expecting a baby. They're not expecting a baby. And he said, and you were taking 2 of our cats. And I said, absolutely not. We're going to stay a dog family. But anyway, let's go back to the story because it had nothing to do with it. So Bella was expecting puppies and everybody was excited. But then one day she unfortunately ran into the neighbor's lawnmower and got really hurt. And the puppies were fine, but they couldn't save her leg. So from that day on, she was limping on 3 legs. You can probably picture what that looked like. And she kind of got used to that. And she was limping from that day on. And the time came for the puppies to be born. And the time came for the puppies to walk. And they all walked with a limp, just like Mama. Because that's all they knew. That was normal for them. They didn't even know it could be different. And you know, sometimes I think our pain that we don't deal with, our emotional pain, when we hold it so tight, we're limping and we don't even know it anymore. We don't even know how free we could be. And you know what? It does affect other people in our lives. In my 20s, as a young mom, when I struggled with depression the way I did, I wasn't as happy and I wasn't as focused on the kids as I could have been because I had that limp. And yes, it affects other people in our lives. And I know sometimes in recovery, people say, I'm not ready to start my healing journey because I don't feel like I'm worth it. But the minute they think about other people in their lives, they think, I won't do it for myself, but I'll do it for that person, for that child, for that spouse, for that coworker, for that person in church. Whatever it takes, if it's not just about you. It actually affects other people in your life. And then the second point in our journey towards emotional healing is this. The battle starts in our minds. Romans 12 verse 2 says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Transform you into a new person. Then you will learn. Process. It doesn't just happen. It's a process. And let's think about it for a minute. We've talked about emotional pain, emotional healing, things like depression, but also like habits, hurts, hang-ups, things that we have developed maybe because of our hurts. And so often, if we're really honest, we're really more concerned about changing our behavior modification, instead of changing who we are and what we think and really dealing with some of those underlying issues. And I found in my own life, if that's all I do, if I'm just concerned about what I do and not why I do it, nothing will really change in the long term. So yes, I could deal with my anorexia and not be anorexic anymore. But I told you, for me, it just flipped into bulimia. And then it flipped into something else. And I've seen that with other people too. If it's just behavior modification, we're not going to be free long term. What needs to happen is what we just heard in Romans 12 too. There needs to be a transformation of our mind, of our thinking, of our believing. And that turns into our actions being changed. I have what I call my battle scripture. And that's really what it is, because I use it each and every day. It's from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. It says this. We demolish arguments, we destroy them, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, every thought, every lie, to make it obedient to Christ. Let's say it again. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought, every lie even, to make it obedient to Christ. That's my battle scripture. And I want to just explain to you what that looked like in my life. And maybe you could think of your own life of an example, or somebody that was in your life. Because I'm sure in a room this size, there are people that walk with people who are hurting. So for me, I told you, I struggled with an eating disorder and then with depression. And so initially, all I wanted to change was my behavior. I wanted to be free from that. But really what I needed to do in my recovery journey, in my healing journey, was I needed to work on those underlying issues. What had actually led to me having an eating disorder? And in my case, I have learned that even as a young child, I had just a deep sense of being worthless, of not being good enough, of being extra, or of being too much, and just not feeling connected. And that connected with being a perfectionist by kind of the way God wired me. That was just kind of an unhealthy combination. And that led to then me overcompensating in some areas, like trying to overachieve or trying to prove that I had value and worth. Does that make sense? So my thinking was wrong, and I didn't even realize, and that led to bad actions. I became a believer in Jesus at the age of 15. And initially I thought, this is it. This is like the magic pill, and everything's going to be great. But you know what? It wasn't. Because again, I hadn't dealt with those underlying issues. In fact, now I thought I wasn't really good enough for God. I didn't understand His grace and His mercy and who He really was. And so then I thought I needed to work extra hard for Him to earn His love. And does that make sense? And so in my journey of healing and in my working on those underlying issues, I had to really get to know what God truly said about me. So that meant I had to be in His Word. I had to know His Word. I still do. And I have to take those thoughts captive, and the lies come that tell me you're not worthy, to say, what does God say? He sent a Son for me. It's an everlasting, it's a secure love. It's often so opposite to what I want to believe, what the lies tell me. And I have to take Him captive, and I have to stand on the truth. And that process truly is a partnership that we have with the Holy Spirit. It is not all us doing it and learning it and understanding it, But it is us playing a part, and the Holy Spirit is helping us. He's guiding us. He's leading us. He's prompting us, and He wants to do it. He's the counselor. He's the guide. And so this is how that process starts. And just like any change, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. And you know, you may think, yeah, I can see that for you. I can even see that in my own life. But the people in the Bible, they didn't struggle like that. Let's look at them. I don't know if you have your special heroes from the Bible. Anybody? Can you think of three people? Just think it to yourself. You could say it out loud if you want to, but just think of three people that you really admire from the Word of God, kind of your heroes. Got three? Yeah? Can I just suggest that they were just as human, as flawed, as sinful, and even as broken as each one of us is? Let's unpack them just for a few minutes, because this is really powerful. And please don't switch off because you think, okay, now we're going to the Bible. This is actually really practical. And so let's look at Moses. Moses, the friend of God. I would love to be called that, right? And yet Moses had issues with anger, rage even, to the point where he killed an Egyptian. Do you know the story? And then he fled. He was ashamed. He was afraid. He fled into the wilderness for 40 years. And I'm sure in those 40 years, he thought his life was over. There was nothing good that could come out of his life. But then one day, but God, I love those but God moments, but God spoke to him from the burning bush. And God, actually, have you ever thought about it? God didn't tell him all the bad things he'd done and what he needed to do to repair it. He didn't even talk about that. God talked to Moses about his future and what he had for him and what he wanted him to do. And did Moses respond by saying, "Thank you, God, for giving me a second chance"? No. He said, "Oh no, I have a stutter. I can't speak. You have the wrong person." He actually said to God, "Send someone else." Okay, that's definitely somebody who needed to work on his thinking, right? He needed his mind transformed, needed to get to know God better. And I love how God didn't just give up. God gave him a helper, Aaron, to speak for him and help him along. And then Moses obviously did amazing things in the future. Not perfect. He relapsed back into his anger. But God used him. A friend of God. What about David? Did anybody have David? Yeah? Great. And of course, we know the story. David had a lot of great things, but he also had a lot of weaknesses. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. That was serious. And how it often happens in life, we say yes to one temptation or to one sin, and it leads to more and more. And we see that with David. And this adultery led to murder. He murdered her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And it ended up in a huge mess. But God, despite of that, God wasn't done with David. Yes, there were consequences. And yes, there needed to be repentance. But God still had a future for David. I also thought about Elijah. And I thought about the victory that he'd seen with defeating the prophets of Baal. Remember the story? And he'd seen God do amazing things. You can read it up when you go home and then just really go into it and look at it from that angle. And he'd seen God at work. He'd seen victory. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like he was overcome by a panic attack. He runs and he's afraid. And then we see him under the bush where he says, "This is too hard for me. I want to die." He was depressed to the point of saying, "I want to give up. I'm done." But God, but God met him with compassion and kindness. And the first thing God said to him is, "You're tired. You're exhausted. You need some rest." And I wonder if God wants to say that to some of us. You need some rest before you can make any decision. Or maybe you need some nourishment. You need some food. You have just been running too much. So, but God. Peter, of course I had to pick four. Peter was with Jesus and really knew Jesus face to face. And yet we know the story. He denies him and he was ashamed. But was that the end of him? No. But God, but Jesus. Jesus looked at him and Jesus loved him, and Jesus restored him, even restored him to ministry. And the Peter that we see in the letters and the Peters that came out of that, that's the Peter we love and admire, right? And you know what is true for them, for each one of them. And maybe you had different examples. And if you look at them and look at their stories, you probably see too that they were flawed, that they struggled with sin, with temptation, that they gave in to sin at times, that they were not perfect. God could have given us perfect examples. But wait a minute, there aren't any perfect people, right? And so that should give us hope, each one of us. And if you find yourself in the desert thinking, nothing good will ever come out of this, but God, but Jesus, He has a great future for you. And let's look at the third point. Emotional healing requires action on our part. Emotional healing requires action on our part. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? If nothing changes, nothing changes. We have to say yes. That's where it all starts. And I know I already called you to action in my first point by saying we have to bring it to the light. And that is true for each one of us. And I just want to say again, so that you didn't misunderstand me, that does not mean we have to share everything in public with everybody. That's not safe and that's not good. We don't have to put it on Facebook. We don't have to tell everybody. But we have to tell somebody. Somebody who's safe. It could be a counselor. It could be a friend. It could be someone here. It could even be somebody online. We have to bring it to the light. But then healing requires more steps, more action. If I'd walked on the stage, maybe in a cast on crutches with a broken leg, it would be so easy to tell you what happened to my leg. Maybe I had surgery and how long it was going to take to recover and when I could run again. It would be so easy to talk about it. But it's a little bit harder when we talk about our emotional healing, our wounds, our pain, even our addictions. It's hard. There's still a little bit of stigma, mental health. There's still stigma, but there shouldn't be. Can we break that stigma? Can we talk about it like it's normal? Because it is. Look at these biblical characters. Because when we do, people can step into the light and they can find healing. But just like if I had a broken leg, that wouldn't just heal overnight with no action. It would take some action. And so it's the same with our emotional pain, whether that's pain in a marriage, whether that's pain through addiction, whether that's pain from abuse, whatever that pain is, we need to look what it is and then what those action steps should look like. So if I have a bad back, I don't go to the dentist, right? If I have a broken leg, I don't go to a nutritionist. Right? We go to the places that help us in our healing journey. And it is very similar to our emotional pain. We go to those places that can help us. So for some of us, it could be a counselor. For some of us, it may need to be a counselor that understands trauma. For some of us who struggle with addiction, a recovery program would be really great. I even know people understand at some point, that's not enough and I need to go inpatient to really get that healing. For other people, it might be the things that we referred to earlier, those lies, that we don't understand who we are in Christ. So we need to learn about our identity in Christ. And maybe Bible studies can help us in that. In my journey, again, it was several things that helped me. I did a lot of things on my identity in Christ. I had a freedom appointment to deal with some of my spiritual bondage. I also needed a recovery program to deal with my addiction. So it was a lot of things. But you know, all those things helped me in that journey towards healing. And I said that earlier, and I believe that with all my heart, and it's a gift to each one of us who know Jesus. When we say yes to this kind of journey, we are not alone in this journey. We partner, I love that word, with the Holy Spirit. And He's ready, He's there, He's waiting to partner with us, to help us, to comfort us, to guide us, to lead us, and to even show us which direction to take. So even as I threw out some of those suggestions of what it could look like, ask Him. But then when He reveals something, or when He leads you to a certain person or to a certain program, then do it. Do it afraid even. And I want to share something that has just encouraged me, and it was just this week. And it's kind of in that area. I was at an intensive workshop conference type thing in Chicago this week called Freedom Academy. And there were about 20 people there. And it was an interesting combination of learning tools for ministry, for coaching and things, but also being ministered to at the same time. And so throughout these 3 days, we had several coaching sessions. So we were coaching people for like 15 minutes each time, and then they did it to us as well with the things that we learned. And we got to pick the theme that we wanted to be coached on. And so all of my themes that I picked for those sessions were honest and real and, you know, in my life kind of themes, but they were not super vulnerable. They weren't like things I'd never talked to anybody about. And it was good, and I did not intend to do any more than that either. But on the second day, just as we were getting ready for another coaching kind of appointment with a stranger, as we were praying, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, you need to talk about this one issue that you haven't shared with anybody yet, a struggle I have with a family member, and you just have to do it. And I was like, kind of like shocked and like, I don't think I want to do that. And that feels really uncomfortable. And that was not my intention. But I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying that. And not just that, he gave me a name and he said, you have to talk to Kathy. I didn't even know Kathy. I'd heard her speak up one time about something that was kind of a connection that we had, but that's all. And so as we were praying, I was just like in my mind was racing and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. But then I remembered, I'm asking you all to step into the light and bring things into light. That's for me too. And the Holy Spirit is asking me, I want to promptly obey. And not just that, he's actually telling me who to go to. And the real cool thing with this is as I looked up and as I opened my eyes, she gazed right at me. And I then jumped at it and I said, I'd like to talk to you. And so I shared, and it was really good. I think she did not get her coaching because we took the whole 30 minutes. And I was just blessed just again to realize God is here. God is at work. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us and lead us. And we have to say yes as he prompts us. And we have to follow his lead even when we do it afraid. And of course, out of that coaching session, out of that sharing, there also came at the end where she asked me, so what action points are you going to take? And I kind of had to nail that down, just like I'm asking you here, what could be a next step for you? Because healing doesn't just happen typically. It can, but most often it's a journey, just like our physical healing is a journey most often. And so I committed to a few action steps, and she's already texted me, and she's checking in on me, and she, I know she's going to continue to do that, and I'm taking those steps. And I've just been blessed to just think, okay, I'm taking that journey now. And so as I invite you to take those action steps, I just want you to know it's an exciting journey that we can be on. We're not on our own. The Holy Spirit, God is with us. God is going to guide us and lead us very, very personally. And so let's just recap of the things that we talked about this morning. First of all, we realized people around us, even here in Michigan, West Michigan, nice, are in pain. We may not see it, but it's real. Different kind of pain. We realize that the first step for everyone, when we have issues in our lives or pain in our life, we have to bring it to the light, at least with one person. First of all, we have to be honest with ourselves, honest with God, and then with another person. We have to realize that the battle is in our mind. That to get lasting healing, we need to take on that work of working on those underlying issues. And it's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. We can take those lies captive and make them obedient to Christ. And that starts a journey of changing our behaviors. And then, of course, we looked at those biblical heroes. And some of you may want to go home and just really look at them with different eyes. And then see too the responses, the but God, but Jesus responses that are so gracious and kind and loving. And then we, of course, partner with the Holy Spirit. If he leads us to next steps, he wants to guide us. He wants to be there with us. He wants to lead us. And there's so many different options. One shoe doesn't fit all, just like it is with our physical healing. It doesn't happen overnight. I know we all want that. But just like We don't get in shape by sitting on the sofa. It's a process. My daughter's getting married in August, and she's working out with a trainer. And she said her trainer said to her, a lot of brides come in like a month before because they think it's just going to happen. It doesn't. It's a journey, and it's the same in our healing journey. And in recovery, we have that phrase, one day at a time, one moment at a time. And we say it so often, and it's so good, and it's so real. But it's actually from Scripture. It's from Matthew 5, verse 34. And it says that, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about what tomorrow holds. God will take care of you tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. And I just want to remind us all of the Scripture that we shared right at the beginning, John 10, verse 10. That Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. That's again his heart for us, that we have abundant life, life of peace, life of joy, life free of those emotional bondage. And I just want to finish with a really great quote by Tim Keller. And I may read it twice, but just for you to have it like sink in. And I believe this is really all of our heartbeat. And it says this: to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known but not loved is our greatest fear. If we were to take the mask down and then we're not loved, that's our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It's what we need more than anything. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, in this moment, in the silence of this moment, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to search our hearts. Lord, we come to you with open hearts. We come to you declaring that you are good, that you are our good, good Father who loves us with an everlasting love. We come to you declaring that you are for us, not against us. That you have good plans for us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord, I just want to pray for every person in this room or watching online, and you know their hearts. You know where they're at, Lord. I want to pray for the person that knows today that there are some things, just like it happened for me this week, that need to be brought to the light for the first time in order to gain freedom and start that healing journey. And I pray you would give them the courage to follow through. Not just the courage, but also lead them to a safe person to share that with. And Lord, if people come to us as being that safe person, I pray for the wisdom and the love and the comfort to be there for them, to sit with them in that moment and to support them. And Lord, I pray for every person who just understood this morning that all they have been concerned about is the behavior and the things that they did and do, and not what was behind it. And Father, I pray that as we partner with the Holy Spirit, that you would help us to take thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ, to the truth of your word, and to the truth of what you say about us and about our situations and our lives. So help us to transform our minds. Help us to transform the way that we think and believe and then act because of that. And Father, I do want to pray as well for those people in here or watching online who just know they need to take next steps in their healing journey. It's not just going to happen. They have to take action steps. They have to change something to find real change. And Lord, again, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, you would guide them and lead them to the right person, program, whatever it is, Lord, lead them. And Lord, I pray that as you lead them, as they follow your lead, even if they follow your lead afraid, that they would do it with joy and with hope, knowing that their future can be different, knowing that you are for them and that you are good and that you have abundant life for them, not a life of limping. And so, Lord, again, we praise you and worship you that you are our great God who is real and who is at work in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.